Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening, and we welcome you to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Brother Richard. Blessings to you.
Amen. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Greetings from rainy Oklahoma City.
Praise the Lord for the rain. We've had a little bit the last couple days, some sprinkles, knocked the dust down, and we're sure thankful for it. Thankful for it. So, well, men, I know we've got a couple callers, and as usual, I will be here listening in and gleaning and absorbing all I can and enjoying the program, and I'll turn it over to you, Brother Ralph.
Thank you, sir, and good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the testimony show of those who have been set free from that which has hindered them, tormented them, and held them in bondage by the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for joining us this evening. If you have any questions about deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. That website lays it out pretty simple there for you. There's lots of testimonies, training, questions, contact information, and it's just there at the click of a mouse. Or, if you would like, you can get the book that Pastor Cox has written called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling the office at 307-742-7582. You let Richard know you'd like to have that book, and he will definitely get it out to you. We do thank everybody for being here this evening. And, Pastor, good to talk to you. It seems like it's been forever since we talked.
Time does move fast, doesn't it?
Yeah. Forever is about 3 hours. So,
right.
So, how did this Monday go?
Well, it was an exciting evening. They are always exciting. We had 19 that came for deliverance and healing. In fact, six were from out of state, from Houston, Missouri, and Seattle. And another interesting statistics was, as I went through the reports, I see that 17 of them were there for the first time, two of them the second time. It's amazing to me how we've been doing this 34 years now at Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City, and how new people, the Lord constantly sends new people on a Monday night. Most people get their Jesus overhaul in one evening, but some do have to come back. Some are more complicated than others, but it is amazing how so many new people, they just come from everywhere.
It is. Praise the Lord that the Word's getting to out of state. And, of course, what we'd like to see one day is have deliverance being performed at many, many churches across this nation, so they don't have to go out of state. But definitely, Pastor will welcome you if you come out there. And I'll be coming out there here in a couple of weeks. Well, less than a couple of weeks. I'll be out there next week. And I knew you had rain. I was checking the weather to extend a forecast, and I seen you had rain. But that rain's coming this way. We're going to have it tomorrow, which is what almost always happens. Whenever I look at whatever your weather is, we're going to have it the next day.
That's kind of the way it works.
I'm looking forward to coming out. I'm looking forward to getting together with some men for prayer and fasting and looking together to get to the war room and seeing everybody I haven't seen in a while and hopefully getting a chance to perform deliverances on people. I haven't had the opportunities like I'd like, but I will be ready in season and out of season. And, listening to the prayer chain meeting this evening, I just, a couple of scriptures come to my mind. And as I was flipping through, as they were the different prayer requests, and I think they even touched a little bit on it. But this right here is just always a good scripture to read. It's a good scripture to remember. We've said it many times, and it's just to remember it. As I read this, this was written to Christians. It was not written to unbelievers. It was not written to the unsaved. This is written to the saved. So this is a warning for those who have repented, believed, and baptized, washed in the blood, and are born-again believers, born-again and hopefully the water and the Spirit, but born-again believers. It's 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And that's just a powerful verse to remind that it's written to Christians. And, of course, if you cross-reference that about the roaring lion, it goes right over to the book of James. And in the book of James, I just had it marked. I know what there it is. Chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that means Christians are a target. That means that they can be oppressed by the devil. The devil's looking to roar in line. He has a whole war room out there full of demons that can come at you and come to attack you. So it's
just, yes, if we're immune, why are we told to resist?
That's right. That's right.
Some groups would suggest that Christians cannot be bothered by evil spirits, and we keep seeing over and over nothing is further from the truth. In reality, Christians are the targets because we may share Jesus, and we may use our God-given gifts and go into our destinies. And so the enemy, we're the targets. But we overcome when we shoot. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Because
it's the good news.
The devil doesn't need to devour the unsaved. The unsaved's already devoured.
That's right.
It makes no sense.
That's right. That's how we resist, though, by speaking in Jesus' name. And we have power, Luke 10:19, over all the enemy, ALL. And even the promise that nothing will harm us. So that's why it's so important to declare that, so the word performs itself.
Amen. And that is something that's heavily in my prayer life. It is said, I would say that it comes out of my mouth right now more than any other scripture. And mainly because it's the one that I have completely memorized. And sometimes I can say the scripture but don't remember how it goes. But you can say that and say, well, the word says this, and be a little off to get the principle right. But that is one that I have memorized and declared off.
That's good.
And I'm glad that I have it. I'm glad that I know it, because it is powerful. It allows. It's our battlefield commission.
Yes, I have it memorized as well and say it a lot. And you know, that's one of the basic steps of inner healing, of people getting healed of their traumas of the past, is casting those cares upon Him, and those feelings, bad feelings we identify in various traumas, as the Christian gives those tormenting feelings from that trauma over to Jesus, praise God, He supernaturally takes them.
Yes.
It is so awesome to see. And they have the memory then, but not the bad feelings that were tormenting them, and also being a door for spirits.
Yes, so, that is a door.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know, something that Pastor, they teach there, it has it on the handout. I believe that's the brown sheet you guys hand out, but it's in there, but it's also in the book, and I'm fairly confident it's talked about on the website, that when you are going through inner healing, you're taking these tormenting feelings, whether it be jealousy or anger or disappointment or hurt or rejection, but you just cup your hands and you speak those into your hands, and as you speak it into your hands, and you ask the Lord to take them as you speak the word in 1 Peter 5, 7, you hand them up to Him. And I've seen people, it's like they can't even lift their hands when they hand it up. And like it's such a burden, so heavy. And then you can tell the Lord's taking them. And the Lord is taking them. Because He says, cast
it,
because He'll take it. And you can see that, just a relief on them. And you can see the relief in their face.
Yes.
Relief in their hand. And there's even been testimonies of people that say they actually saw Jesus' hand come and get it. And that's just absolutely amazing. It's just the
super. Yes, it's supernatural.
I love to talk about it. I love to talk about it, and it's something that's so simple. You can work with somebody on that. Just as simple as talking with them, which I've done a couple times. People say, hey, come on, we're gonna do this real quick. I want you to cup your hands together, and we do some healing with people, and just that little thing to help somebody can get them through that day. And of course, if you don't have the time to do a full deliverance on them, that's just something so simple you can do with them. There's reminding the word at 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety. I think some translations say cares upon them, but it says, the word says, because He, talking about Jesus, cares for you, and He'll take them. And that's just awesome.
We have a simple gospel.
Yes.
Simple gospel, and as we use it, apply it, there are simple steps, just as we have in our steps for deliverance and healing. There's nothing complicated about them. Anyone can learn to do them. And any Christian, of course, is already qualified, already licensed to speak in Jesus' name and do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Not a special gift, normal Christianity.
It is, and he can use a little old me and little old Pastor Cox. He can use anybody, because we're nothing special. We've just been blessed in certain areas in our lives, but blessed mainly that someone shared it with us. And that's why we come here on the radio each week, is hopefully that word gets out. It goes out through the miracle of shortwave and the miracle of the Internet, and get out to reach people. And a lot of course, all these things we talk about can be learned and read, and the steps are doing the supernatural works of Jesus. I have your book right here in my hand, and it is just it's a powerful hand guide, and that's what it is. It's a hand guide. It breaks it down, follows step by step, so you can do that. You can perform self-deliverance on yourself, or you can perform deliverance on other people, and the great thing about it is you don't have to remember the exact steps, because it's right here. Being like, okay, oh yeah, I need to do that. Oh yeah, I need to do that. And he's laid it out in order, because we have found that if you don't do these things in order, they don't come out as easy.
That's right. Those steps are something we've learned over many decades. We've done deliverance so many different ways over these decades, from, myself 40 years ago, and then the ministry 34 years, and we've adjusted this and tried that and tweaked and the steps that we have are proven to work, time-tested, and anyone can learn them and do them. And praise God.
Praise God.
It's a book manual doing the supernatural works of Jesus. It's not just a book. It is a manual with steps.
Work harder. I mean, work smarter, not harder. I started to say it the other way around. But, again, you can obtain that book at calling Scriptures for America at 307-742-7582. Let Richard know you'd like to have that. He'll get the information and get that sent out to you. Pastor, we have our first caller tonight. Tammy, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Oh, hi, Tammy. So glad you called in. And you might back off from the phone a little bit. Sometimes it kind of distorts, as we found, if, so you don't have to talk real loud or back off a ways. Well,
is that better?
Yes, maybe a little more yet. You might go ahead and, yeah, that's much better. You might go ahead and give some history on yourself, Tammy, and when you were born again, and how you learned about deliverance, and then any experiences that you'd like to share.
Yes, how's that? Do I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay. I dedicated my life when I was 10 years old at church camp as a young girl, and I have lived my life as a Christian. And then now, years later, a friend of mine's nephew was in a bad place, and so she recommended the deliverance ministry, so we went, and that's where I met you, Everett, and we just had a really nice visit for the first time. I didn't realize I had a bunch of negative energy that I was carrying around, or unhappy feelings from family members that I hadn't, or forgiveness, I should say, from people in my past, family members. So I really feel like I was able to let that go and ask God to help me and let that out of my life. Also, the friend that I came with, he was suicidal, had tried to commit suicide twice, and he's only 25, and he really felt like he was delivered. So since then, that not only him, myself, and two others have come to the deliverance ministry and feel like we've been healed from things of our past.
Praise God. Do you remember some of the problem areas that you dealt with?
Yes, for in my life?
Yes, and even the others.
Yes, my life, my parents, my dad was abusive towards my mother, and I really had never forgiven either of them for, you know, the circumstances. So I really feel like the deliverance ministry helped me forgive both of them. And then a week later after I went, my mom went as well. And she spent a lot of time from 5:30 to 11 p.m., you know, getting delivered from things she's dealt with in her life.
So have you seen a lot of changes with her?
Well, it was a week ago, yes, but we have.
Oh, okay.
And I'm hoping for more changes. She's dealt with this.
Yes.
She's 68 years old. She's dealt with a lot of grief, and I'm hoping that she'll be completely delivered.
Amen. And sometimes it takes a while to see all the differences. I didn't realize it was just a week ago. But, that's exciting, your friend has had no more suicidal thoughts, as far as you know?
No. He actually contacted his previous employer, and they hired him back. So he's got his job back, Also, my neighbor, I told him I went to a deliverance ministry, and he came over the next day to hear all about it, and the following Monday he went because he had been asking God to help deliver him from his issues with his previous marriage, and he came and went with me and my mom the following week, and he wants to come and learn how to be a minister to others.
Hallelujah. That's awesome, Tammy.
And he had prayed the day before that God would help deliver him from his situations and his worries with his ex-wife. And it was just, he felt like it was God showing him the way.
Well, it sounds like it. I think, what were the odds that he would just happen to hear this? About it, you know.
I don't believe it's kind of a coincidence. So I firmly believe that it was God using me to help him.
Yeah. And, you know, think of how many are just like him, Tammy, all across the country. And they have really no place to go. They don't know where to go. And they're seeking deliverance. They know they need it. Think how many are just like him out there.
Oh, I agree. And that's what's so nice about this ministry, is it helps people that may or may not realize they even need help.
Exactly. Most everybody's got the stuff that's come down the generational doors and the doors that we've opened, the unforgiveness door. Who hasn't messed up on that one? The flesh naturally wants to carry bitterness and stuff and wants to get even, et cetera. So it's everybody's open doors. And it's amazing the populace does as well as it does, but then we read these horrible things where people are obviously demonized, hear about them on the news and all, where they've done these weird things that don't have any motives, and some even say they're hearing voices that told them to do it. So it's frustrating because the secular world just calls it mental illness, in the deliverance circles we call it a deliverance need. But so many never get it, and that has a long ways to go, doesn't it?
I 100% agree.
Well, that's exciting that your neighbor wants to go through the training. And have you had any thoughts about doing that?
Well, I have, but I have two young kids, and we have... It's just hard for me in my stage and life right now, but I would love to when they will grow up sooner than I'm ready.
I've seen three grow up. So it does seem quicker than you would think. Seems slow at the time, but then
right.
The next thing you know, they're driving. You know, they grow up fast. But we all have timings in our lives, I think, of times that we are to be doing things for the Lord, and when you have small kids, you got your hands full, so it's going to be a while before you could really think about getting after it.
Yes,
well,
but I
awesome,
would love
Tammy.
To, because I think it's awesome. The lady that I was paired with, Susan was her name, she was very thorough.
Uh-huh.
She started from my childhood, actually my infancy, my pre-childhood, you know, when I was in the womb, all the way to infancy. And, you know, she just took me through each stage of my life and helped me remember things that I may or may not have remembered on my own, or, you know, things I might not be really happy about. And we just asked God to help me forgive those people in my life. And that was really, really cool how she took me through all the different stages of my life.
Yes, and And that inner healing step is a big one that we see work all the time. We were talking earlier about giving the bad feelings over to Jesus, you know, from certain that we carry from various traumas and memories of the past. It's called inner healing, and so it's amazing to see the relief that comes out of that. Well, it sounds like you've had a good overhaul, Tammy, and are you feeling better these days?
I am, and I'll tell you, it's an overhaul, like you said, and just like your car, it wouldn't hurt to overhaul it every, you know, few months or every 6 months, just to get kind of a, you know, almost like an oil change.
Yes. Well, we open doors pretty easily sometimes. It's a struggle by the flesh to keep the doors closed. We were talking about that earlier. And the unforgiveness particularly, we have to be really careful to, if somebody does us wrong, to whisper out to Jesus that we forgive that person and we bless them. So that way we can keep the door closed. There being 15 doors that evil spirits can come through that we've recognized to torment Christians. Well, that's an awesome report. You've spread the good news of this, Tammy, pretty well, it sounds like.
Well, I'll tell you what, Everett, I'm going to keep spreading it. I firmly believe in it.
And as time passes and people you meet and all, just like that neighbor, the Lord will coordinate, like we just talked about, and you'll be able to, even though you got your small children, nevertheless, you're doing a ministry when you're able to coordinate people for help.
Yes, I firmly believe that. God uses us in other people's lives instead of, you know, back in the Old Testament, there was miracles, but I feel like He uses us to make those miracles.
Yes, and you know how easy it would have been, Tammy, for someone never to have shared with us. It's like an accident, even though, like you say, it's the Lord's coordinating, but still, as you look at it, it seems like a coincidence that somebody shared. In my case, I could have missed it. It would seem very easily, and I wouldn't have had these 40 years of this high adventure of ministering and teaching deliverance and seeing physical healings, emotional healing. It's been the most fulfilling part of my life, and I could have missed it. Well, there's other people that would love to do this kind of thing. They just need to hear about it and how to get into it. So as we share, well, you never know who might be really looking.
I agree.
Well, to wind up here with you, Tammy, what else would you say to the people before we close out?
Well, I would say if there's anybody that they know that is really hurting, that this ministry can completely deliver them. And, you know, it's very easy to do, and it can be a quick healing to remove the ailment that they have.
Praise God. Well, thanks so much, Tammy. You're a blessing. Thanks for sharing all that.
Yes, Tammy.
Well,
thank you for
Everett,
coming
on. I'm glad that I met you and stumbled upon your ministry, and I will definitely keep encouraging others to go through your deliverance ministry.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Okay, thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Tammy. Well, that's a
a common testimony that she gave as far as the grief and the unforgiveness. That seems to be two things that people will battle with. And that grief at times can be so overwhelming for somebody. And a lot of times, you know, I know the case of some people I've talked to, they have unforgiveness towards the person because they passed away. They'll hold a lot of anger towards that person for dying. It's a good thing to spit out. Here we were talking about 1 Peter 5:7, and that's what happens a lot of times with that grief and that unforgiveness. You just talked
yes,
about
and they have the feeling of rejection and mm-hmm. abandonment. It doesn't make any sense. The person, you know, more than likely did not want to die, but still the feelings come forth. And those feelings can actually be an entry for a spirit that then takes it from there. And they're with that person for years and years and years, clear up. It happened as a child, clear up into adulthood.
Yes.
But nevertheless, our Jesus will take those tormenting feelings, and they're not there anymore. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. And, you know, you'll hear people talk about that all the time. They'll talk about something that happened to them when they were a kid. Things will still pop up in my mind from time to time, and I'll think about it. I was like, oh my goodness, I never forgave so-and-so. And I was talking with a family member of mine who's in his 50s, and he was talking about how hurtful something happened to him when he was 13 on a school bus. And I was just talking to him. I was like, you know, let that go. Let that go. Forgive them. But he didn't want to. It's just amazing that somebody can hold on to something for that long, and it's unfortunate because it is so easy just to give it over to the Lord. And when you give it over to the Lord, you free yourself. You're not holding that person in bondage. You free yourself, and that's what the whole thing is about. There, casting your cares and your anxiety. It doesn't say cast somebody else's. It says cast your cares, your anxiety, and. So praise God! Now I would bet if she, you know, with her mom, she's going to be seeing a big difference in her, and I bet we'll be hearing her testimony in a couple weeks. So that'll be fantastic if we do. So
yeah, I'll have to follow up with Tammy on that, maybe her mom would come on the show.
But a good tool for helping you get over grief and getting over the unforgiveness is the breaking of ungodly soul ties. And that's on the ministry tools on the website, deliveranceusa.com. It's also in Pastor's book. I'm trying to find what page it's on. You might know off the top of your head what page that is on. But it's a tool to use of the breaking
which,
of ungodly
soul ties. Which tool is that, Richard?
The breaking of ungodly soul ties. There it is, chapter 6, page 41. And that's what we talked about earlier in the show, where you go through and you break those soul ties that people get through everyday relationships. Not the godly ones, you keep the godly ones, but the ungodly ones. The ungodly ones that come from arguments or come from old wounds, maybe some sort of betrayal in your life or their life. And you just you work on the inner healing of it, and part of it is you work on forgiving that person. You take all the things that have happened, and instead of cursing them, you choose to bless them. It says here, any hurts, bitterness, anger, resentment, betrayal, rejection, sadness, disappointment, offense, neglect, feeling of abandonment, deceptions, lies, criticism, manipulation, and control. That's a pretty comprehensive list there, Pastor. I think all of us have had those kind of feelings towards somebody at one time or another.
Yeah.
You just hand that person over, and you hand those feelings over, those negative, hurtful feelings to Jesus. And you give it up to him, and then you make that choice to bless that person. So if it's Bob that's hurt you, you know, you go through. I take Bob and any of these negative emotions that are there, and I lift them up to you, and I choose to forgive Bob, and I choose to bless Bob. And that's just, it's such a simple process. I don't know who taught you that, where it came from. Well, obviously it came from the Holy Spirit, whoever eventually got it the first time. Whoever taught you that, and the way you guys have put it together, is just awesome. Pastor, we have Kerry. Kerry, thank you for joining us.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah. Hi, Kerry. That's Ralph. He's up in Missouri, co-host here, and this is Everett. And thanks for calling in. And Kerry, you might back away from the cell phone somewhat, or lower your voice a little bit. Otherwise, we find it distorts. That would help.
Okay, how's that right there?
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Well, if you would, Kerry, go ahead and give some history on yourself, and then you know, when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance, and then the experiences you had. We've got about 20 minutes to visit here on it.
Okay. Well, I was born again in 1995. Found a little church out east of Oklahoma City, and went out there, and that's when my life changed, and things started getting a whole lot better for me. And we always attended church, and I managed to. I always worked in the praise and worship, and played music and ran sound and, you know, that sort of thing. And we moved over to
a
church out.
Kerry, you might back off just a little more from the cell. You would.
Okay.
Back
off. Is that any better
right
there?
More. It was distorting. A little
okay,
bit.
Okay. Is that any better?
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. But I ended up out at a church out in Yukon, Oklahoma. And it was called the House of the Lord, and I was their sound engineer out there for 4 or 5 years. And I eventually became head of the men's ministry. And the pastor of the church comes to me and he says, you know, he said, I think it would be a good idea if you went through this ministry downtown that's put on by Everett Cox. And I said, okay. I said, what would be the reasoning behind that? And he goes, well, he said, it'll give you a whole different perspective of what we are supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. And number one. And he said, number two, he said, it will clean you up a whole lot. And he said, you will have a whole different understanding when you come out of that. And so I told Roger, I said, sure, no problem, I would love to. And of course, I've always been intrigued by the Bible about you know, what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to be able to do things that, you know, laying hands on the sick, raising people from the dead. And that's always been real fascinating for me, but, you know, you never hear anybody that knows anything about it. It's just something that's kind of talked about once in a while. It's never drug out into the air. And so when I came to the ministry down there, that was one of the things that we locked on to. And you explained, you know, how it worked. And to study this and go to Luke 10:19, and this is kind of where we would have a beginning part of that. And so that was kind of the area that really intrigued me anyway. And so, man, I just got so much out of it. The very first night I was there, there was a gentleman that had a chip in his shoe. And he was talking about, you know, how his leg was shorter than the other. And he had been walking with that for years. And he explained how he came about that. And so, at the end of the night, you know, we had a real good crowd of people there. You brought this gentleman up, and you know, you asked if anybody had any problems. he came up and brought himself forward and explained to everybody that, you know, about his chip and everything. And you simply just picked his feet up and you asked in the name of Jesus, you know, that all of his back and his feet and his spine and everything come into the alignment. And for the very first time, I seen his feet just, they grew about an inch and a half, and they just lined up perfect. You stood the man up, I looked at his back and his shoulders, and you asked Jesus, you know, to bring that all into alignment, and it did. And I was like, wow. You know, you hear people talk about what God can do, but you never see it. Well, guess what? I've seen it. And so,
it's a sign and wonder.
At that point in time,
sign and wonder.
It is, and you know,
sign and wonder. Praise God.
You know, you hear stories your whole life, and you think that this is some kind of a smoking gun show. This is a magic trick or whatever. But you know, when you give it all to God and you see it, it brings a whole new reality of it. The believing of it is just phenomenal. And when you get to see it, it's just like, you know, he paid a price for all of us, you know, and he can, you know, we're to be able to make these commands and ask for this, and this come to us. And that is totally amazing, you know, because you know, people don't realize what they can just ask for and get. And, you know, we always kid around about the old saying, ask and you shall receive. Well, I learned that very night that's all you have to do. You know, if you believe and you're a believer in God, it's there for the asking. And so after that, I began to study in that ministry and was there for quite some time. But after my both of my parents had passed away, I had sat down and we were talking one night about, you know, how my dad, you know, he was saved right there in the hospital. We prayed for him, we laid hands on him, and he had a bleeding artery. They had him lined up for surgery the next morning. And, you know, he gave his life to God right there that night. And he didn't go into surgery the next morning. He went home. And
praise God.
They give him 72 hours to live. He lived 5 years. You know,
praise
and
God.
So we've seen tons of miracles. Everybody that I know, when I see that they're going through hard times, I see the life is beating them down. And, you know, and to the point that it don't look like there's much salvation for them. I always send them up there to go through the ministry because it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. It's more than just a healing. You know, there's more to it than that. You understand why we're here. You understand what we're supposed to do while we're here when you leave.
Yes.
And that to me meant a lot because, you know, understanding why we're here is a big deal in my book. I mean, nobody wants to walk around and go, well, I wonder why I'm alive today. You know, you got to understand it. And it gave me all of that. I was able to receive it. Ended up with throat cancer, stage 4 throat cancer, in December of this last year. And when they give me these prognoses at the hospital, the doctor's office, I got rather angry. I mean, I didn't just go, well, you know what, this is bad. I'm just going to accept it. I got mad. I got mad because I was being attacked, and I knew that.
Yes.
I know that God doesn't walk around passing out cancer. You know, he don't just walk into a room and go, you know, I think you need some throat cancer. I think you need some for your kidneys and some for your lungs. He doesn't do that. I know that. And so I was angry because I knew I was under an attack. So the very first thing I done when we got out of there, that was on, I believe that was on a Thursday. I was at the ministry Monday night. And I got a healing while I was there. You know, I had to go ahead and go through some treatments. But what I went through was, I felt like was really kind of horrible. But I knew all along that he's already paid for my healing. He's paid the price. All I need to do is go through what I need to go through, whatever it is. And it's done. It's been paid for. And I want to receive it. And so, and I did. And I went through 38 treatments of chemo and radiation. And they said I had some of the worst reactions to it they ever seen anybody go through. But I walked out of there able to talk. I didn't have to have a reconstruction surgery on my throat, which they said was a great possibility. They said that I would never sing music again, which is not true. I can sing. It's not very good yet. I'm only about 4 or 5 months out of treatments. But the reality of it is, you know, he says, you know, we're going to go through trials and tribulations, but he's going to be there. We're not going alone. And so I knew that at all times. And, you know, I just as honest as I can be, there was times I didn't think I was going to make it. But I always knew that he was there. And through all of this trials and tribulations that he sent me through, I seen things that were on the dark side of things. I had nightmares and dreams and just tragic stuff, you know, that would go through my mind. And I finally got to where I couldn't sleep. And I have a daughter. She's, I call her Dessa Myers because she's wrapped up in the ministry, you know, and she's just awesome at it. And she came over to the house and she says, "What do you think we need to do?" She said, "I feel like we need to get rid of those demons that are on you." And she said, "That's what's happening." I said, "I know." And she pulled her Bible out and she threw that Bible on top of me and she started praying. They went away immediately. And, you know, just reassure me one more time, God's got my back. He's got this. All I got to do is ask for it. And all along, that's the way it's been. I mean, it's been one situation after another. And it's just, you know, he has my back in every instance. I've come out of the cancer situation 100%. In fact, the last time I went to the doctor and they run a scope down my throat, they said, "It doesn't even look like you ever had cancer." I said, "Well, shouldn't there be some scar tissue or something there like that?" He, "No, huh? There's nothing there." He said, "It looks good." He said, "Don't look like you ever had nothing."
And you know, sound good.
So I give all the praise and glory to God on the thing because there's no way that they've got the kind of technology to remove that without it. Where it was at, it was sitting right on top of my vocal cords. They initially told me that they couldn't even do a biopsy on me because they thought that they couldn't keep me alive long enough to do the biopsy because I couldn't get a breathing tube down my throat. So they were considering doing a live trach. In fact, told me when I went into the operating room to do the biopsy that, "Hey, guess what? If you wake up and you got a trach in your throat, we couldn't do this." The doctor told me, he says, when I got in there, he said, "The cancer, the tumor, which was," he said, "is at least the size of a golf ball." He said, "It just moved over out of the way." Praise God. I was like, okay. And he said, I can't believe that. He said, because you had literally an airway the size of one of those black coffee stirring straws. He said, that's what you were breathing through. In fact, wow. Previously he had even questioned me how I even got into the hospital, because it was two stories up in the air, and I had walked all the way across the parking lot. He said, there's no way you ain't got enough airway for you to breathe, for you to be able to maneuver like that. So, you know, the whole thing from day one was just a miracle, one right after another. Stepping through the events as we went through it, you know, I could see the miracles that I was getting on a daily basis, one right after another.
Yeah.
And just the whole time, I knew that we were going to be all right. I knew that this was going to be all right. I knew he had my back. That's kind of the way it all played out. And I am blessed to be free of cancer today. I definitely talked to all my friends about it. I believe I talked to Johnny Walker the other day, a friend of mine, and I sent him up to go through the ministry. He has one leg that's shorter than the other. Johnny can't walk or couldn't walk. And, you know, I told Johnny, I said, you know, I said, you're a man of God. You believe. That's all you need. All you got to do is ask for it and believe in it. And, So, he's been to your ministry, I think, twice now. And couldn't say enough good stuff about it when I talked to him last time. Was just really pumped about what had happened to him during the ministry. And he told me, he says, the first time I went through it, he said, you know, I got Parkinson's disease. And he said, I had to stop and take medicine in the middle of it. And he said, so I don't think I got everything that I was supposed to. And I said, Johnny, don't quit. Go back. I said, Everett would love to see you back there again. I said, because if you missed it, you know, don't rob yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't take away your opportunity to be healed and be set free from the things in your life that are hindering your situation. And I said, you know, I've been taught my whole life that the reason why you don't receive a healing is because of your lack of forgiveness. And I said, so,
yeah.
I said, you know, go back, lay this all on the table, throw it down, give it to God. I said, you don't need it. I said, it ain't taking you nowhere you want to go. And it'll cost you more than you'll ever want to spend. And so, you know, back again he came. And, I mean, I haven't talked to him since, but he was sure pumped on it. And I believe his daughter and some of his other family members have come to the ministry also. In the midst of all of this, all of my family has been through it. I've got my wife and I, hers, mine, and ours, we've got 9 kids all together, and 7 of those 9 kids have been through the ministry. And
praise God.
I've been real fortunate. God has blessed me with some kids that are very, very, very in tune with what God has to offer. And I am blessed every Sunday morning to see them on the, you know, sitting on the pews of the local church down here, and they all believe in God. And so people ask me, so, well, you know, are you rich? Do you have a lot of money? No, I don't. Don't need it. God provides everything I need. But it really makes me a happy person to see my children up there, and I see that they're receiving what God has to offer. And everyone that gives their life to God and starts moving in his direction, you can see immediately the change in their life. When they come up there and they go through your ministry, it's just like they got a new vision on what exactly that they're doing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they know something that nobody else does. I've told everybody, I said, this is the best kept, this ministry is the best kept secret in Oklahoma City. And they're like, well, why don't everybody know about it? How come you're the only one that knows about it? I said, I'm not. I said, I'm just the only one that talks about it, I guess.
That's a great testimony. Awesome testimony. Thank you for sharing all that. And you know, Terry, if you hadn't have had that background with those tribulations you went through, oh my goodness, how tough it would have been, how sad it would have been. And think how many people do wind up into those situations, just like the nightmares even. You all were able to go into to attack there and blow the spirits out that were tormenting you. And, you know, it's just an ongoing thing. We're in the war zone till we go to heaven. It's imperative that Christians learn who they are and how to deal with it. Well, we're about out of time. Kerry, do you have anything quickly that you would share before we hang up?
Well, I would just like to share, you know, that, and I want everybody to know, you know, that, you know, this ministry is a lot more than just walking in there and receiving the healing. It's more than just a 2-hour education. It's something you can carry with you for a lifetime, and you can share with everybody. This is something that everybody you know can get something out of it. And all you know, it's there for the asking. And it is, like I said, it's been the best kept secret around. But it's time that everybody knows about it. It's time that everybody takes advantage of it. Money can't buy it, what you can receive. I mean, just like my buddy Johnny Walker. I mean, he's got the greatest insurance in Oklahoma City. He can't buy
anything.
I mean, he can't buy his healing. But you know what? It's like I told you, God can fix it in just a couple of seconds.
Fantastic testimony.
Yeah, thank you so much.
But we're out of time.
Terry.
Thank you for coming on and sharing with that. That is just, wow, praise God.
Awesome.
Praise God. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. Again, that's Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox for DeliveranceUSA.com. We'll see everybody next
Amen.
Week, and God bless.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.